This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Genetics researchers announced this week that the sequencing of the human genome is finished. Join Ira Flatto on the next Science Friday as the talk turns to what the completion of the Human Genome Project means and what's next for genetics. Plus, the oldest sample of plant DNA yet found. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Now we're going to switch subjects. Dr. Robert Atkins died today at the age of 72 after a head injury he suffered in a fall earlier this month. He was best known for his controversial weight loss method that he explained in his 1972 book, Dr. Atkins' Diet Revolution. At the time, the American Medical Association encouraged a low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet. Atkins called for just the opposite. Eat meat, eggs, meat, cheese instead of bread, rice, and fruit. The AMA labeled the Atkins diet as potentially dangerous, but that did not deter dieters. His book initially sold 15 million copies. A revised version sold more than 10 million copies worldwide in the 1990s. Joining us now to tell us more about the controversial doctor and his diet is Craig Stoltz, editor of the health section at the Washington Post, and he's with us from his office here in Washington, D.C. Good of you to join us today.
Hi, Neil.
Dr. Atkins did not invent the Atkins diet, did he?
He did not. He read about it in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and something of a contrarian, he decided he would try it himself. He found that he lost a lot of weight with it and began to use it in his cardiology practice to help his overweight patients lose weight. He found that it worked and very quickly converted his practice over to a weight management practice and sort of alternative medicine practice.
Well, if it worked so well, why was the medical community so critical?
The medical community for a long time has been devoted to the idea that eating fats, particularly saturated fats, is very bad for heart conditions, that it gives you high cholesterol, and high cholesterol in turn gives you heart disease. Because Atkins was recommending almost unlimited eating of those fats and fatty foods, they thought it was extremely dangerous.
Now, at one point, there was the Atkins diet was seemingly had been marginalized a little bit. Then it was a big resurgence in the 1990s.
Indeed. There has been some research which has suggested that there is some validity to the plan. He also has a lot of followers. What is very appealing about the diet is that the things that people who are trying to lose weight have been depriving themselves of for years, steaks and bacon and butter, they can eat almost unlimited amounts of. And I think just that idea that they could eat like that makes them want to try the diet, and I think they get very enthusiastic about it. Studies have shown that in the short term, the diet can help people achieve weight loss. There really aren't any studies that show that it works in the long term, and there's still a lot of unresolved questions about its long-term health.
Mm-hmm. Now, he himself was hospitalized for cardiac arrest last April, not a young man, but was this in any way related to his diet?
Reportedly not, that it was an infection of the heart, and an infection would have nothing to do with a sort of heart disease that could have been triggered by a high-fat diet.
You mentioned that he was a contrarian. He had some other controversial ideas, ozone therapy.
Indeed, ozone therapy, which he said could kill the AIDS virus, and he said could be useful in the treatment of cancer, was something that he offered to his patients at his New York clinic. He's a supporter of a whole variety of alternative treatments. And in fact, for some years he has run, or at least in his name there is run, a nutritional supplement company. He was not a big fan of pharmaceuticals, like a lot of alternative medicine practitioners, and he believed that nutritional supplementation was the way to go. That also kind of fed into his diet, because one of the consequences of his diet was constipation. His diet had very little fiber in it, or has very little fiber in it. Consequently, a lot of the people who are on it are constipated. They need to take nutritional supplements, and his company was providing some of those supplements to people who are on the diet.
I'm not going to make any jokes. He is clearly a major figure, I mean, a best-selling author, if nothing else. What do you think his legacy is going to be?
I think that he really was, if you could apply this in the diet world, he's a wedge figure. You insert the term Atkins into a nutrition conversation, and people line up on one side or the other. Either you are with the low-fat camp, or you're with the low-carb camp. And I think, in a way, that has really done a disservice to nutritional research, because what the most recent research has found is not that either fats are bad or carbs are bad, but within fats there are good fats and bad fats. Within carbohydrates there are good carbohydrates and bad carbohydrates. And further, what all the research shows time and time again is the only way to lose weight is to take in, is to burn off less than you take in, and to nourish yourself well. And everyone is trying to find some way around that. They're looking for the magic bullet, but I think that's sort of face-off argument between high fat and low fat really gets people away from that difficult truth, which is, I think, what the nation has to face if we're going to deal with this obesity crisis.
Craig Stoltz, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Craig Stoltz is editor of the health section at the Washington Post and was with us from his office here in Washington, D.C.